As you know, Time Magazine every year picks up its choice of person of the year. Normally, it is a single person. Sometimes, it's a group of persons. At other times, it may even be a thing, just like when they chose the computer as person of the year. Well, so far, however, Time Magazine has had only one occasion when it selected a person of the century in the year 2000. Naalala ba ninyo kung sino yung napili nila na person of the century? Albert Einstein. And in explaining their choice of Albert Einstein, Time's writer said this, and I quote, Einstein was the preeminent scientist in a century dominated by science. The touchstones of the era, the bomb, the Big Bang, quantum physics, and electronics all bear his imprint. He was the embodiment of pure intellect. Ayan daw si Albert Einstein, pure intellect. Hindi siya kagaya ng ibang scientists who derive their knowledge by experimenting. The uniqueness of Albert Einstein is that many of his conclusions were simply by sheer calculations and theoretical analysis. And yet, his conclusions were even more accurate than those who resorted to experimentation. And you can say, what a man, what an intellect, what a mind. And they chose him as the one who embodied everything that was best in a century dominated by science. So Einstein then was the ideal man of our time. And the ideal man of our time is the man of knowledge, the man and woman of science. And indeed, look at the breathtaking achievements of science. Masdan ninyo ang mga bagay na nagawa ng siyensya. Nakapaligid yan sa inyo. Maaring suot-suot ninyo. At marami pang mga bagay na tinatangkilik natin sa araw-araw na mga bagay na nagawa ng siyensya. Hindi natin siguro maiisip ang buhay natin ngayon sa mga ordinaryong bagay na ginagawa natin kung wala ang mga nagawa ng siyensya. At sinasabi nila na ang mga inaasahan pa natin sa hinaharap na wala pa ngayon ay dadalhin din yan sa atin ng siyensya. So man's hope is more of science's achievement. We now have the achievements of science in their amazing number, and more are to come. Indeed, the best is yet to come. Well, it is to this kind of optimism in science that will run counter to the next stage of the book we are studying. And we are studying in the book of Ecclesiastes, a man who is trying to make sense of life. But in order for us to understand and to enter into his quest, we need to see the final picture. Sino ba itong nagsasalita rito? At sa pag-aakala ng iba na ito isang philosopher, isang cynic na wala nang naasahan sa buhay, ang aking iminungkahi, ang dapat nating makita rito ay isang mangangaral. Isang mangangaral na maya't maya, inaanyayahan niya yung kanyang mga tagapakinig na pasukin natin yung uri ng pag-iisip ng isang taong walang Diyos. At dun sa mga bagay na kuminsan mahirap siyang unawain, at kung hindi natin sensitibo na mararamdaman yung kanyang gustong sabihin, ay madali tayong maligaw. Pero kung isipin natin na mangangaral ito, na ang kanyang layunin ay magbahagi ng karunungan, he wants to share wisdom, and wisdom with men and women who have bouts of sorrow, then we have better chance of understanding the book. Then I also suggested a key to understanding this book. It is in the form of the key word in the book, Hebel, which is translated vanity. And I said that we are in the section before 6 verse 12 where vanity takes the meaning of brevity. And then after that, it will take the meaning of mystery. So here the writer reflected on the coming and going of generations in contrast with the permanence of the earth. At ang nakita nga natin doon, pag ikumpara mo ang isang henerasyon doon sa pagka-permanente ng mundo, ay tila napakaikli. At ang naging pagmumuni-muni natin doon, kung walang Diyos, ang isang henerasyon ay lubhang napakaikli para magkaroon ng mabisang pagbabago sa paikot-ikot na buhay ng mundo. Without God, a generation seems so brief to make an impact on the ongoing cycle of life. That's the conclusion of someone without God, but that precisely is the wisdom behind it. He is saying that only is the conclusion when you are without God. A generation seems so brief to make an impact at all on the ongoing cycle of life, but we saw otherwise. Now let us come to more quest by the writer in trying to make sense of this brief generation. Turn now to chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and read verses 12 to 18. Ecclesiastes 1 verses 12 to 18. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This grievous task God has given to the sons of men, man, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Now the writer or the preacher will return again to this thought or sense, and I invite you now to jump to chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. Chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. Now does a wise man die as the fool? So here the preacher begins his quest for answer to make sense of the brevity of one lifespan, one generation. Naghanap siya ng makapagbibigay katugunan dito sa kaiklian ng isang henerasyon, sa isang buhay na siya lamang ipamumuhay natin dito sa mundo. What makes sense of such a brief life? And in true style of wisdom literature, in this passage, he highlights the place of wisdom. But as I told you at the beginning of this study, there is one thing in the writer of Ecclesiastes in his statements on wisdom. It's mixed. Sometimes he speaks of wisdom very positively, very highly, and yet at other times negatively. And we see that here. Nakita natin yan sa ating mga binasa. He acknowledges the value of wisdom, but then it smashes on this dead-end wall we call death. And all that he could mutter is grasping for the wind, vanity. In other words, too short. My message is this: without God, the brevity of life seems to render wisdom no better than folly. Without God, the brevity of life seems to render wisdom no better than folly. Last week, without God, a generation seems so brief to make an impact on the ongoing cycle of life. Now, the message is, without God, the brevity of life seems to render wisdom no better than folly. Ang kaiklian, kung walang Diyos, ang kaiklian ng buhay ay parang winawalang bahala ang karunungan na tulad lamang ng kamangmangan. Parang walang pinagkaiba ang sinasabi niya rin. The preacher here combines two words that indicate searching inquiry. He said he inquired. He searched. One translation combines the two words investigation and exploration. Now, here is the stance of a true scientist. Ang tunay na tao ng agham. Yan ang kanyang ginagawa. Yan ang kanyang buhay. That's his bread and butter, as they say. Investigate and explore. A scientist does not accept traditional answers. He must search. But then, as he searched, the writer here says he finds this in the New King James, burdensome task. In the ESV, an unhappy business. In the KJV, the Old English, this sore travail. Now you get the drift. There's something negative about this task of investigating, exploring. It can be burdensome. It makes one unhappy. It can be sore. And the result of the inquiry, according to the writer, is that I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And indeed, what's his conclusion? All is vanity and grasping for the wind. So his conclusion to his investigation sounds so cynical, pessimistic. Now, it is not that his inquiry does not show the advantage of wisdom. In fact, as we shall see, the advantage is so obvious. Napaka-liwanag ng kalamangan, ng karunungan. But then, he comes to this question. Alam niyo, scientist, tinitin niya lahat ng tanong. At matapos niyang makita yung sagot sa tanong, ano bang uri ng buhay ng marunong kapag nasa opisina? Ano bang uri ng buhay ng marunong kapag merong mga crisis? Lahat yung tinatanong niya, bigla niyang naitanong, how does a wise man die? And suddenly his shoulders slumped in a depressed realization. How does a wise man die? And he had to say, as the fool. And so he concluded, therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Matapos niya magtanong ng mga bagay na magkakaroon ng magandang mga konklusyon, naitanong niya ang dapat namang itanong ng sino man, paano ba mamamatay ang isang marunong? At ang naisagot niya, kagaya rin ng mangmang. What does this tell us? The intellectual left to himself is what the writer here concludes. In much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. And it is only by realizing this that there can be hope and in fact redemption from, what did they call Einstein? Pure intellect. And we need redemption from pure intellectualism. I have 3 points to share. First, in life, the wise has real ascendancy to the fool. Sa buhay, ang marunong ay sadyang may kalamangan sa mangmang. In life, the wise has real ascendancy to the fool. Secondly, at death, the wise share similar tragedy with the fool. Sa kamatayan, ang marunong ay may nakikibahagi sa parehong trahedya sa mangmang. At death, the wise shares similar tragedy with the fool. And then my third point, with God, the wise leaves a better legacy than the fool. Kung may Diyos, ang marunong ay mag-iiwan ng mas mabuting alaala kaysa sa mangmang. With God, the wise leaves a better legacy than the fool. First thing then, in life, the wise has real ascendancy to the fool. Sa buhay, ang marunong ay may kalamangan, may sadyang kalamangan sa mangmang. Ang sabi rito ng sumulat, then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Nakita niya yan. Kung ihambing, parang liwanag at kadiliman. Ang sabi niya, the wise man's eyes are in his head. Eh, hindi ko alam kung caricature ang nasa isip niya rito, his eyes are in his head. But the point, as we would say today, is that the wise walks with his eyes open. Bukas ang mata ng marunong. Hindi kagaya ng mangmang, by implication, the fool walks in darkness. Hindi niya alam ang kanyang direksyon, hindi niya alam ang kanyang kinaroroonan, hindi niya alam ang kanyang patutunguhan. Ganyan ang mangmang. Ang marunong ay alam ang kanyang ginagawa, ang kinaroroonan, patutunguhan. Now, what then are we to learn from this? Well, what we're to learn from this about the ascendancy of the wise is that wisdom is superior to folly, but without God, it is beset with sorrow. Wisdom is superior to folly, but without God, it is beset with sorrow. Ang karunungan ay nakahihigit, nakalalamang sa kamangmangan, ngunit kung walang Diyos, puspos ito ng kapanglawan. Ito ang sinasabi niya. We know that wisdom has advantage. And every parent, every responsible parent knows that the best thing he or she can give to children is education. What parent has not worked an extra load just to meet the child's tuition fee? And at graduation ceremony, have you not seen parents choke with emotion, with their sense of achievement, perhaps even more than the graduating child feels? There's the sense that my child is now a graduate, he'll be okay. And why all this? Because we instinctively believe that education is an advantage. Knowledge is an advantage. There is ascendancy for the wise. And the proof of that is all over us, all around us. Look at job applications, application forms. What merit attention when it comes to educational attainment? And this is not to denigrate, this is not, hindi ito pamiminta sa hindi nakaabot sa mga matataas na pinag-aralan, ngunit isang realidad ng buhay na kapag nagkaroon ng mga magkakaparehong aplikasyon, ng isang tinitingnan ng mga tatanggap ng aplikasyon ay ang antas ng pinag-aralan. It tells you advantage to knowledge. Who makes it to the top of the ladder? Well, those who are either formally educated or at least self-educated. We all instinctively believe that. There is advantage to it. And I'm appealing to you, young people and children, be diligent with your education. Consider your parents' sacrifices. Consider the hope of your future. And I tell you, many will look back with regret at their missed opportunities. Kapag sila ay tumanda na, nakaabot na sa edad na hindi na sila makabalik ng eskwela, ay titingnan nila ng may panghihinayang yung sana'y nakapag-aral sila at hindi nila nagawa sapagkat sinayang nila. Maring bukas sa kanila yung daan ng edukasyon, ngunit inuna nila yung maagang relasyon. O sila'y nahila sa mga maling mga gawain. They have been sidetracked by other fixations. They chose early relations. And instead of education, they will find themselves regretting the day when they left the opportunity. Don't do it, young man and young woman. Study well. In the not long future, I tell you, you will not regret it. You will be very grateful to God, to your parents, and to every influence that enabled you to finish your studies. So strive on. But then, in the process of gaining education and collecting knowledge, do not be without God in life. Sa proseso ng pag-aaral at pag-iipon ng kaalaman, huwag kang mawala ng Diyos. And this is what the writer says about more sorrow, the more knowledge. One English version puts it this way, and I think it captures it. The wiser you are, the more worries you have. The more you know, the more it hurts. Now you ask, why the sorrow? Well, it should be obvious. Sometimes the sorrow comes from sheer overload. Oh, tell me about it. Before you are done with one, another comes. And precisely because of your knowledge, the load comes and they pile one on top of the other until you find yourself like a juggler of your time and schedule. And sooner, one of those schedules will fall. Well, it's sorrow. The sorrow can come from frustration. Because one can know so much, you get frustrated with people who do not have your intellect. Sometimes you get frustrated with subordinates. Or sometimes you get frustrated with superiors who overrule you. One genius in the cabinet of President Cory Aquino, I remember well, was the Secretary of Department of Finance, Jimmy Ong Pin. He had very good ideas and policies. But you know, Cory's cabinet then was a mishmash of leftists and militarists, etc. And she always got sidetracked with what should be done and what's popular. And in the end, the policies that Jimmy Ong Pin wanted implemented was overruled. And as a decent man would do, he resigned. But then a few months later, he shot himself. Committed suicide. Frustration of a genius. Sometimes the sorrow is from loneliness. After all, you're the expert. People consult you, they come to you, and not vice versa. You're supposed to be the one to hear. You're supposed to be the one to have the consultancy, not the other way around. So from sheer loneliness, the man whose intellect has catapulted him to the top of the ladder discovers he is alone at the top. And that's something that loneliness, knowledge is accompanied with. And the challenge here, brethren, is do not be without God in pursuit of wisdom. And when you have God in pursuit of wisdom, you will find that there is joy in pursuing wisdom for God. Now, I'm not saying that a person who pursues wisdom for God will avoid overload, loneliness, frustration. No, he won't. Hindi niya maiwasan mga bagay na ito. Ngunit, I am saying that with God, you will have no illusion. And best of all, you will have someone to cast yourself upon. And that's the best thing you need. When you are overloaded, when you are lonely, when you are frustrated, there is someone you can cast yourself upon. Or sometimes because of sheer sense of responsibility, because of what you know. On August 6, 1945, you know that date, Hiroshima. The atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. And a few minutes after that, the man whose brainchild the atomic bomb was, who else? Albert Einstein, was told it. And the eyewitness simply said, he slumped his shoulder and simply uttered, "Oh my God." And yet it was his brainchild. Well, the point, brethren, is in your pursuit of wisdom, do not be without that one on whom you can slump yourself, on whom you can cast yourself upon. You can turn your sorrow into prayer. You can cast yourself upon him, because you are dealing with knowledge not as something under the sun. And instead of becoming suicidal like Jimmy Ong Pin, you can turn this sorrow to God. But without God, these things are what the writer here says, under the sun. And it is an unhappy business. It has no assurance. One of the most anti-Christian intellects that ever lived was François-Marie Arouet. We know him better as Voltaire. He has written so many things anti-Christian. Yet we are told that his last words, when he was on his deathbed, when somebody approached him carrying a lamp, his reaction in fear was, "What? The flames already? Ano? Apoy na?" Eh, siguro nasa konsensya niya yung kanyang mga sinabing laban sa pananampalataya at laban sa Diyos, eh dinadala rin niya sa kanyang konsensya. He used his mighty intellect to attack Christianity, and yet in the end, he had no peace. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here who had made well in your studies so far, and you have a good mind. It's a blessing from God. But my friend and young man, young woman, if you do not have God, all your wisdom will avail you nothing when you are face to face with death. And that brings me to my second point. At death, the wise shares similar tragedy with the fool. Sa kamatayan, makikibahagi ang marunong sa trahedya ng mangmang. Ito ang sinabi ng sumulat, ng preacher. "As it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. He asked, how does a wise man die as the fool? What does it tell us? It tells us this, no amount of wisdom exempts from death. And it is part of wisdom to accept it and live by it. Walang anumang karunungan ang magpapatakas sa atin sa kamatayan. Bahagi ng pagiging marunong ang tanggapin ito at mamuhay ng ayon sa katotohanan ito. Yet people continue to nurture the hope that one day science can discover eternal life through sheer substance and chemicals. From the crude superstitions of the ancient world to the more sophisticated experimentations today, the quest is on. They want to discover that which will render death a thing of the past. They forget one thing, that death is the penalty of sin. It is not about a chemical. It is not about the structure of the bones, not even what your anatomy is. Death is because of sin. It is not a biological conclusion to life. It is God's justice visiting the sinner at last. And unless you have an answer to God's justice, there is no answer to the problem of death. No matter the cleverness with which this is explained, they forget that issue of justice. Instead, let us challenge ourselves. Do not find the sense of life in pure intellect. Yan ang sinabi nila kay Einstein, pure intellect. Well, that's not the sense of life. For the simple reason that it will not accompany you at death. Without God, death is the most frustrating reality for the wise man. I imagine the wise man on his deathbed, contemplating on his wall the various diplomas and credentials, achievement awards, plaques of appreciation, etc. And yet, dying without God, those diplomas and plaques will be small comfort to face eternity. For just as it was said in terms of material things in this world, so with intellectual properties in this world, as we carried nothing into this world, so we will bring nothing out. Benjamin Franklin, again, was one of the greatest intellects, both in the field of science as well as in the field of politics, one of the great influences and molding minds in the birth of America. But did you know that Benjamin Franklin himself composed his own epitaph? And partly it read this way: "The body of Ben Franklin lies here, food for worms, but the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author." Illusion. He nurtured the illusion that somehow, some way, he would still be the one to correct these works, which are his pride. Indeed, products of a great intellect. But in a more sane reflection, he knew that his body is lying in a place that would be food for worms. That's the tragedy of the wise. If he is without God at death, the wise share similar tragedy with a fool. And my last point: with God, the wise leaves a better legacy than the fool. Kung may Diyos, ang marunong ay mag-iiwan ng mas mabuting alaala kaysa sa mangmang. Listen to these words of the wise man. This is the language of a man who is cynical, and we need to correct him. "There is no more remembrance," he says, "of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. This is the utterance of frustration by a perspective without God. No more remembrance," he says. And we must reverse this pessimism. It is otherwise when there is God in the application of wisdom. And this is now the element of mixture in the preacher's words of wisdom, a good side and a negative side. And we need to reflect the good side of this. The best wisdom is that which influences people for God, and therefore bring God into your exercise of wisdom. I was watching a few hours ago while I was resting a documentary by CNN on Michael Jackson. And there it was shown partly his last interview. And in his last interview, almost there was a premonition that he was dying soon. And he said that, "I'm going to live on in my works." Well, there's no question that Michael Jackson left something in this world. And people keep saying, even in praise of him, that he will not be forgotten. But what kind of influence would he leave? Sensual entertainment and rebellion, many things. Whereas the best wisdom is that which influences people for God. I ask you, where is God in your field of knowledge? Tinatanong natin yung kanina sa ating Sunday school. How can you influence others for God in your field? And dito yung sinabi later on by the writer, 7 verses 11 and 12, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it." So here is the best legacy. Here is the best inheritance. And in fact, by way of comparison, he says, wisdom is better than money. For those of you who are children, to whom we would leave very little money, but if we could educate you, it is some inheritance. But the best inheritance is not just education. It is to have that wisdom which influences people for God. It gives life. So the challenge, if we are to have that wisdom which will be better than folly, if we will have that wisdom which will not have the pessimism of the same death as the fool, and if we will have that wisdom which will leave better legacy than the fool, my final challenge is know God above all. And that's the best wisdom. And the best wisdom is the wisdom of God, no less than the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us of Jesus, of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. At itong gusto kong ipanghamon sa atin, hindi ko sinasabing ang mga may karunungan lamang ay yung nakatuntong sa mataas na antas ng kolehiyo o universidad. Narito ang tunay na karunungan na magdadala sa atin hanggang sa pangwalang hanggan, karunungan na daladala ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo na nagpakilala ng tunay na Diyos. Kayong mga nag-aaral, meron ba kayong ganitong karunungan? O kayong hindi lubos na nakapag-aral, huwag kayong manghinayang sapagkat ang tunay na karunungan ay kung nakilala ninyo ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Wisdom ultimately is not the ability to answer all questions of life. It is to accept God's answer to questions, even when sometimes God's answers mystify us. When you are surrounded by a pile of books and papers, meditate on the Word of God. Don't forget it. When you need to pursue an issue relentlessly, why not give yourself some pause to cast yourself in prayer upon God? In other words, be a man of knowledge, but best of all, be a man who knows God, so that when your influence begins to radiate on others, they will say of you not just what a man of knowledge, but they will say he's a man, he's a woman who knows God. Again, one of the greatest minds, and I believe greater even than the men I already mentioned, Benjamin Franklin, Voltaire, one of the greatest minds, I believe, was Jonathan Edwards. He pursued philosophical issues as well as theological issues. And I have a complete set of his works, and until now, I still have to plumb the depths of it. But what is considered as Jonathan Edwards' masterpiece, that which was the most influential, is Religious Affections. It is about his heart commitment, heart affection for God. Not a man who simply exercised his mind and intellect. Jonathan Edwards was not the man you would call, as you call Einstein, as pure intellect. He wasn't. He was a man of affections for God. And I fear sometimes when we are surrounded with piles and piles of requirements in order to meet the need for wisdom and knowledge in our vocation, we might be forgetting the affections. We might be forgetting that heartwarming for God. Let us remind ourselves this afternoon, as knowledgeable as we can ever be in this world, let us know that affection for God, so that like a little child, we can just address Him as my Father, and as it were, put snuggle our heads upon Him and feel Him in the reality of His Word speaking to us, and we speaking to Him. And by this, we can say we know God, and people will know us as men and women who know God. In other words, let our prayers be more than what our books will tell us, will teach us. Let our prayers be, teach me Thy way, O Lord. And we beg for God's teaching, there will be those sorrows, as the second verse says, when I am sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo, Panginoon, na maunawaan namin ang pagsusumikap dito ng mangangaral na dalhin ang kanyang mga tagapakinig sa pag-iisip ng mga taong ayaw tingnan ang sa lampas ng silong ng langit na ito. At nananatili ang kanilang pananaw sa mga bagay lang na nasa mundo. At sa ganitong pananaw ay tila nga ang karunungan ay mawawala ng saysay. Magiging tulad lamang ng kamangmangan dahil sa kaiklian ng buhay. Kaya nga tulungan mo kami na makita namin ang tunay na kalamangan ng karunungan. Ngunit ang kalamangan ito ay mapupuspos ng kapanglawan. Malibang hanapin namin ang karunungan ng ayon sa aming Diyos. So we ask, Lord, that you would give us that kind of quest for knowledge, be it in school, in books, and whatever other form of knowledge and wisdom. May we learn to have our God to cast ourselves upon. For we know that knowledge is accompanied with sorrow, from overload, from frustration, from loneliness, from sheer responsibility, and many other things. And yet, if we have God, we can learn not to have illusion of ourselves or illusion of others, but we will learn to cast ourselves upon you in total dependence and learn to call upon you in times of our frustration and loneliness. And most especially when we are face to face with this tragedy that seems to be shared by both the wise and the fool, the same tragedy of death. Indeed, no amount of wisdom can exempt from death, and no amount of scientific sophistication can ever escape from the reality that death is not just a biological conclusion to life. It is not a chemical combination of anything. Death is your just penalty to our sin. And the only answer is the one who took upon himself both the requirements and the penalty of justice in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet without God, indeed, death becomes a most frustrating reality. And may we think of this when we try to make sense of life through our pure intellectual achievements. May we realize that as much as we cannot bring to the afterlife any material thing, neither our intellectual property. So we ask, Lord, that you will give us a sense of reality, a sense of balance, and instead of this, may we learn that only with God will the wise leave a better legacy than the fool. That indeed wisdom is good with an inheritance. Indeed wisdom is better than money. And may even our young people realize that. But may you grant us to know that the greatest of wisdom to be acquired is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the wisdom of God. And so help us to understand that wisdom is not ultimately our ability to answer all questions of life. It is the ability to accept your answers even when they mystify us. And thus, the most important quest of knowledge is to know you. To know you through our Lord Jesus Christ. And grant to Lord that we would increase in this knowledge. And if our sheer overload and sorrows due to knowledge and wisdom are hindering us from seeking after the knowledge of our God, may you correct us. Give us a pause And amidst our pile of books and papers, teach us to meditate upon your word. Amidst the consultations and referrals, may we learn to cast ourselves upon you. May there be those moments when we are not the man, the woman who others look up to because of knowledge, but may we just be your child, snuggling up to you from your comfort and communion, that we may know you better. And that's the real wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.